Brady, you ready?
It's the Football Hour. With Mike Judson, and in the center of it all,
sees every second of this season,
Nick Hardwick.
It's Overreaction Monday. Week one, Nick, maybe the best of all overreactions.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah, because our coaching staff used to tell us the biggest difference would come between week one and week two. So you make the most adjustments. Everybody kind of settles in a little bit.
Right.
Week one's a slot fest in general, but you got some teams out there. I'm looking at Tom Brady highlights right now.
Oh, my
Goodness,
God, Nick.
Oh. Daggone Patriots.
Unbelievable.
He looked midseason.
The Steelers should have fired Mike Tomlin when they had the opportunity last year, this offseason. I think they should have fired him.
They got embarrassed last night.
They looked woeful.
Terrible. Yeah. I mean, blown assignments. Just
they had nothing going on.
Zero.
Yeah, they look completely inept.
How does that happen?
It's just bad. I mean, the Patriots are that good. You expect them to be dialed in, but people always kind of anticipate maybe a little slow start for the Patriots. They're not going to pull out all the stops. And that Julian Edelman throw last night, they just look so dialed in. Like, there was no drop off from the Super Bowl performance to where they are week one. I mean, it's ridiculous.
Good morning, buddy.
Hey, good morning.
How are you?
How was the weekend, guys? Were you up at the Rose Bowl?
I was there.
I had a horrible experience when I went to the Rose Bowl. I've only been there one time. I got stuck in a human traffic jam.
It was one of the tunnels?
2001.
Oh, no.
Watching the Boilermakers take on the Huskies in the Rose Bowl. First time Purdue had been since 67. And I'm not kidding you. I was up there with all of my college buddies this before I walked onto the football team.
Drew Brees?
Like a month before. Yeah. Purdue ends up losing to Marcus Tuiasosopo 34-24. And before we go in, all the Purdue fans had parked on one side of the stadium, all the Husky fans on the other side of the stadium on the golf course, but our seats were on the wrong side of where we parked. And I'm not kidding. There were people fainting, crying, yelling. Me and my buddies were just charging through everybody. It was one of the worst experiences of my life.
You're practicing for open tryouts?
And then Purdue lost. Yeah, exactly. I was ready to go. I was like, let me just throw a little shoulder here, choke that person out, look like an Eagles fan.
You know what's crazy about the Rose Bowl is that when you're in the Rose Bowl and it looks so friggin' massive. It's built down into the ravine.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh my God, it is so high to the top, the last stadium there. A last seat in the stadium. But if you get to that last seat and you look down, it's only about 30 feet to the ground outside.
That's it.
That's how big it's built. That's how much it's built down into that little ravine.
It's the big dish.
As you can imagine, it didn't quite have the same traffic jam that you were talking about. Chip Kelly doesn't really have Bruins fans screaming and up in arms.
Does he have them in a frenzy?
No, he does not. And school isn't in session either.
Do you see?
So you can't even just get the fallout.
How far is that from Westwood?
It's not. Put it this way: it's not so far. It's not that far. You can get there.
Yeah, but I always thought the best part of a college experience was on campus.
Yeah.
And our kids would go to, at Purdue, we'd have what they called breakfast club. Like, you would get in your Mario and Luigi outfit, or you'd look dressed like Spider-Man, or you would put on all these costumes. And at 6 in the morning, you take your giant plastic beer mug down to Brothers or where else,
or Brothers,
Pete's or whatever. And you would go get like a quarter beer, and you'd just get hammered before the game. So by the time Drew Brees is leading the Boilers over the Indiana Hoosiers,
yeah.
I mean, people are up there with a socket wrench trying to tear the goalpost out of the ground.
Did you see that Browns fan that got hammered before the game?
My God.
I don't even want to joke about it because I don't know what kind of shape he's in.
How's he not dead?
A guy was, well, he could
you
be,
don't
I don't
want to
know.
Joke about it, but I'm
well,
joke
it reminded
about
me of the heavy binge drinking before the game, which I blame Aaron Rodgers and David Bakhtiari.
That's exactly.
But no, a guy standing on top
bad
of the car.
Examples.
And the guy's doing a live shot of television, and this guy behind him stands on top of the car, and he just gets the spins.
He got
and
something.
Just cement, right? Just all the way from just woo.
Dental?
Yep.
Is he alive?
I have no idea.
He was a concrete now.
We'll get Ben on that right
face
now.
Feels good.
Yeah. 844-570. This is what we're doing, Nick, today on an Overreaction Monday. We're taking either what people believe is going to be the biggest overreaction or what is most accurate about what we saw yesterday, like the Dolphins will probably chase 0-16. 844-570-1360. And you text the show.
Costa's got the video going right now.
70470. Begin the text with XTRA. Yeah, you see why I didn't want to.
His palms is sweating.
You see why I didn't.
That's like somebody who's standing at the altar and doesn't bend their knees. Look at him. He's just like, oh, man, he's going down. Oh, yeah. Oh! Hope he's living today.
That's one of those things you watch one and a half times. You wonder if you saw it right the first time.
And he did it to himself.
It's like when they bring an old building down, it just went on itself.
We all have choices to make. We do. Poor choices.
We'll start with Antonio Brown. We'll get to the Chargers in just a bit. Nick, I just wanted to read you that there is latest news with AB. Nothing is as much fun as we've been having. But the Patriots, they added an option year for Antonio Brown in 2020 at $20 million, which becomes guaranteed if executed. It was done to help for cap proration purposes this season.
Yeah.
It's prorated.
Yeah.
Otherwise known as proration.
So this is the sound of him, right? When he finds out he's going to New England?
Yeah, this is him finding out being his release by the Raiders.
It wasn't staged at all.
No, so this is really good. It's like, I just blew $30 million guaranteed. Yeah! This is great!
It was sad.
Yeah, unless he knew that he was going to New England, which he had to have known. Right? I mean, he had to know that he was going to
New England. Smell fishy to you?
Yeah, how quick was the turnaround on this thing?
They just
had it all dialed in. We get the numbers like 2 hours after he's released from Oakland.
But the NFL says we're not going to investigate. There's no collusion.
No.
There is no investigation.
Nothing to see here, people.
Jesus.
It's good for business for the NFL. It is. I heard you earlier. It's like, we would much rather see the NFL with our best athletes out there, Antonio Brown, as much of a hot mess as he is. But it does stink for the Raiders, who just got, I don't know if they got bamboozled or what happened here.
Right. John Gruden really went to bat for Antonio Brown.
How much can you go to bat for a guy?
Well, I mean, initially with the Steelers fallout.
He goes to bat for him, and then all of a sudden it's like getting in a fight with Mike Mayock, calling him a cracker. This thing got really ugly.
I think it was the beginning of Hard Knocks.
Does it call Bill Belichick a cracker?
Ooh, I don't think so.
No.
There's a funny meme making the round that from Bill Belichick on the phone. It says, "Well, try this. Call him this. See if it'll work. How about Antonio Brown, Nick, secretly recording John Gruden?
Let me ask you this, do you want to be a Raider or not?
Man, I've been trying to be a Raider since day one. I've been working my ass so hard at anyone. I don't know why it's a question of me being a Raider. Like, do you guys want me to be a Raider?
Please stop. Just play football. How hard is it, man? You're a great football player. Just play football.
Would you stop the S and just play football?
That's good. I like that from the head coach. Like, I'm at my wit's end with you, bro. Well,
Gruden's publicly said, listen, we exhausted everything. Forget it.
They did. Well, and you were right last week. It's like, you got to get rid of this guy.
Yeah.
I mean, you got to cut him loose.
If you're
the Raiders, it's like, okay, we tried, we failed. No one's really hurting this whole thing, except they could have maybe allocated those resources elsewhere.
Yeah.
Thankfully, and I'm really sincere about this, thankfully they don't have to just eat money 30. And let him go.
Right.
Because that would have been completely unfair for the Raiders. So I'm glad.
You lose the third and the fifth, and that's going to sting you a little bit when you get to the draft next year. Raiders are not going to the Super Bowl this year, so he wasn't the missing piece of putting them over a proverbial hump.
Right.
So the Raiders are going to be the Raiders this year. I love the message, and I said this last Friday. It sends to that locker room. And the fact that
captains... so many young guys in there. 12 or 14 rookies that they're playing
this
year?
Yeah, and the fact that the captains went to John and said, whatever decision you make with the guy, we're good with.
The only thing you kind of... I would have wanted the captains to do is like, let's get rid of this dude.
That would have been
awesome. Let's go. Let's get rid of him.
This
he hasn't worked for us. He's not showing up. He's part-time. He's just creating a bunch of controversy.
Yeah, I'm not celebrating John Gruden for anything they did. They had no other option. If anything, I thought he got walked over a little bit by Antonio Brown, and it was showcased.
To his defense, they did kind of build up their offensive plans this year around Antonio Brown. They spent $30 million, what could have been $50 million on the guy. So to his defense, a little bit, he's like, I'm willing to deal with a lot because of the talent. You knew you were gonna have to deal with a lot, so don't be surprised when you get what you asked for. But at some point it's like, this is way beyond normal for any football team, even for a diva wide receiver. This is way beyond what you expected.
So what are the Patriots getting? You watch them, they beat the Steelers by 30 points last night. And then I think, Fletch had, like, this is going to be the most obvious conversation that's going to be had on Sports Talk Radio. It's like, is AB going to be able to kind of ruin this dynasty because they welcome him in? And I know that Bill will cut him before it becomes a circus, but it's like, will AB fall in line with what Bill Belichick wants?
I would imagine.
And
if not, he's gone. So really, there's not a whole lot lost except the $9 million that they've guaranteed him. I don't know if you saw, though, the Julian Edelman video where they asked him, what do you think about AB coming to town? I got to say, like, he didn't genuinely look excited. Now, he towed the company line. He's like, when you add exceptional talent, you can only go up from there. But he didn't look like a guy that was thrilled to be having Antonio Brown come in. You can, I guess, in some organizations, destroy culture like Antonio Brown did with the Raiders, like he apparently did with the Steelers. Although, I don't know. People are looking at Mike Tomlin and are like, I don't know if that organization is buttoned up as we think it is without Le'Veon Bell and Antonio Brown. I mean, they were expecting a lot more.
No, last night looked like they needed Antonio Brown and Le'Veon Bell. Right?
They got absolutely trounced. But just watching Julian Edelman, he's like, God, I got to deal with this dude in my room? Well, like, bringing somebody really bad into your house and letting them live there. And it's like, how long do we have to do this?
You bring in Josh Gordon, and Josh Gordon's worst enemy is Josh Gordon. He can't get out of his own way sometimes, but enough people throw their arms around him and love him. He can stand the straight and narrow. He's an awesome football player for you.
Yeah, he showed that.
He is not going to disrupt your football team. He's going to deal with his demons secretly.
Right,
and
he kind of seems like a quiet guy.
Everybody's rooting for
his talent speak for
himself. Hold my hand if I need it, please, but I will try to do my best. Where AB comes in and, listen, spotlight's on three people in the Patriots organization, your owner, your head coach, and your quarterback. And the rest of you are just little soldiers that you're going to follow along. And sooner or later, AB's going to be like, long as no one talking to me. Or I'm not getting targeted.
Why didn't I get the ball?
Why did anyone get the other touchdown? And it's going to... But Bill will be just like, get the hell out of here.
You know, the reaction from the release just was another example to me of him just being completely emotionally unstable. Like, did he not realize the ramifications?
Without a doubt. He's crazy.
He's and he needs help.
He's straight-jacket.
I don't know if anybody saw Manti Te'o's post this past weekend of Antonio Brown. He's like, hey, while everybody's doing their commentary on Antonio Brown, be mindful. This dude may not be all right in the head. And that, to me, is so true.
Yeah.
It's like, this guy looks like he's bipolar. He looks like he's manic. He looks like something is not quite making the connection that it needs to be. Because he has no sense of perspective of what his actions are doing to other people's lives. Right. Like, he is complete. I mean, it's in a sense, like, addicts, yes, their actions affect them, but they also affect everybody else around them, and they don't really seem to be able to get a hold of it, and they don't seem to care. And Antonio Brown just, like, he just goes and craps on organizations, essentially, and then leaves and doesn't really care. It's all about him. It's like, the dude's stuck in a four-year-old's body, a four-year-old mind, and that wildly skilled body of his. It's so confounding.
There's the one side of me that goes, how in the world would the Patriots ever welcome what you described into the organization? And then also, and I'm going to say it, Aaron Hernandez was a New England Patriot. I mean, they overlooked all the things that were going on in Aaron Hernandez in college because of the exceptional talent that he has as a football player.
Yeah.
So, Bill, I mean...
Albert Haynesworth. Haynesworth signed a $100 million deal with the Washington Redskins, and they brought him in. It didn't really work out. They didn't get what they were hoping out of him, but they're not afraid to try. I mean, they believe so firmly in their system and having guys just simply do their role and not putting anything else on their plate that they are willing to try with all of these other guys who fail elsewhere. And for a team who has the cash to be able to go out and sign him, $9 million for a team who's got two jumbo jets with their paint job on the side, they're not doing the rideshare
Did you watch the game last night all the way through?
Oh, yeah.
Did you see that side-by-side pictorial thing they did with when Belichick started and what he looks like now?
Oh, my God. I had to rewind that.
Oh, my God.
And Josh McDaniel still had acne like a 13-year-old prepubescent boy. Like, somebody should go after the Patriots maybe for some child work conditions.
Dante Scarnecchia, I mean, it was amazing. And Tom Brady... And Tom Brady's came up, and Meg was like, whoa, wait a second.
He looks better.
He goes, he only has half a jaw, like from when he, you know, we know Tom got some work. But the thing, the point yes. I'm trying to make is
better those, forehead, less jaw.
Yeah. Those guys have been that core. Running backs coach, yeah. offensive line, offensive coordinator, Belichick and Brady have been there since day one.
That's the difference.
And the core ain't getting
splintered. Well, and also the back end of the organization's all set up, so yeah. they're just operating at a really high level. When other when these other teams go out and sign these head coaches, and we talked about it last week, it's like, and the agents assembling their coaching staff for them. These yeah. guys go, hey, you know what you got this week? You know what you got this week? We all know where we're thinking because it's this kind of defense. Seen this before. Bust out the plan. We'll adjust the formations and the motions. We'll dress it up a little bit. They all know exactly what they're going to be doing. And that's why it's so easy for them to operate at such a high level, where other teams are like, okay, what are you guys thinking this week? Well, you know, so there's just so much inefficiency on other teams where the Patriots – they start where other teams finish.
It's Football Hour with Nick Hardwick on Jump In, 844-570-1360. We're taking your overreactions on the Monday. Text the show 70470. Begin with XTRA. Melvin Gordon watching from home. The average, I think it was 6 yards a carry for the Chargers. Didn't look great. This matchup, Nick, we know Andrew Luck was maybe the big storyline of what was missing. But if you look at how Jacoby Brissett looked in the game, and
21 of 27,
and then you keep in mind no Derwin James, no Russell Okung, no Melvin Gordon, no Badgley the kicker, the Chargers versus Colts of who they didn't have or what talent was missing, you would say that the Chargers were actually without more than the Colts.
Based on the fall off or the lack of fall off from Andrew Luck to Jacoby Brissett is what you're saying?
Yeah, and not having left tackle, if you saw what that offensive line looked like, and how good Derwin James is. Oh,
Trent Scott's a hazard now.
Yes.
I mean, seriously.
Oh, yeah.
And I hope he gets better, but currently he is a hazard. They gave up four sacks.
Hazard to Phillip.
They gave up four sacks. One of them was based on Mike Williams not breaking off a route. He had a side adjust on a route, so there were two guys that came to his side, and you could see Phillip go, there was two. And Mike was supposed to break off his route and just catch the quick side adjust, they would call that. And so that was one sack that Phillip took. The other three were all Trent Scott, the left tackle, with like 100 reps under his belt before this game, live game reps. And these aren't like hallmark names that we're talking about. I mean, I bet you would be really hard pressed to find out one of the guys or be able to just say one of the guys' names who got a sack.
Well, you
against
got
Trent Scott,
but you have older Justin Houston.
But he wasn't one of the guys that got a sack against
no.
Trent.
Is it DeNico Autry?
No,
he wasn't one of the guys.
Yeah, no. Keep trying.
I don't know the names of the guys who got sacks against him.
Art Donovan.
But we're talking about three sacks and yeah. two forced fumbles, so he could have been incredibly detrimental to the Chargers' plans against the Colts. Luckily, they recovered those fumbles that Phillip Rivers had, but he's getting drilled square in the back.
Yeah.
I mean, good luck holding on to the football. You would say, yeah, hey, ball security. It's like, dude, look out. Throw the ball. And not to mention, he almost cost them a touchdown, which was the first Keenan Allen touchdown that Phillip had that nice ball to him, kind of ad-libbed a little bit because he had that illegal formation in the backfield. So you're talking about really four wildly detrimental plays from Trent Scott. So they've got to figure out something. I mean, I kind of figured out the game plan a little bit because people are like, why aren't they chipping it back? Why aren't they running a tight end through Trent Scott? What they were essentially doing in pass protection, straight drop back passes, is they were setting the formation so the center and the left guard could always turn to Trent Scott
to pick off whoever's coming up.
Yeah, okay. So he could help funnel back inside if he simply overset his guy.
You know, there are players that are just exceptional talent where you take a position, they're the top two, top three in the position, they're paid like it. And then there are those that are good to very good that are a product of the system that they're in. And unfortunately for Melvin Gordon, I thought yesterday was a great example of Melvin Gordon is a very good running back, but he is also a product of the system that he's in. Austin Eckler had three touchdowns yesterday. Oh, yeah. And at times he just looks like a better running back than Melvin Gordon to me.
I guess the thing that I see with them is they're better in the middle with Justin Jackson and Austin Ekeler than they were running the ball with Melvin Gordon. I even think they're better in the middle in the passing game.
Because Melvin needs space.
With those two. Yeah, he's a huge body that takes a long time to get started, and he's not really good at making guys miss. And I don't think he has great vision, to be honest with you. Where Melvin's the best is when he can get to the perimeter, which also happens to be where the Chargers are the weakest, is on the edge. So they're the strongest in the middle, which is where Austin Ekeler and Justin Jackson are really good with their vision, being able to make guys miss. They're shifty in line, and they have a lot of productivity on kind of standard run plays, to be honest with you. The plays that they really struggled to get going were the plays that they tried to break out Melvin Gordon's plays on and get him to the perimeter. They didn't have a lot of success, but they had the one in overtime was like as old school of a play as you could possibly have. That's day one OTA install. It's called 40 arc. You just arc the tight end out. You lead up with the fullback, and Austin Ekeler did a really nice job stuffing it up in there. He's a really good running back, and I think they're going to be just fine without Melvin Gordon. He may be calling going, hey, is that 10 mil still available?
No, we told you. Not until the season's over, Mel.
You did it, Melvin. Yeah. You did it.
Yeah, kind of.
Overplayed your hand.
Overvalued yourself.
Yeah. CJ wants to jump in 844-570-1360. We're taking your reaction. CJ, good morning.
Good morning. I got two overreactions. And yesterday it felt like watching the stands throughout a lot of the NFL, not just the Charger game, that fans viewed yesterday as week five of preseason. And some of those teams out there looked like they were in week five of preseason because it just looked like really elementary football. And then number two, the Chargers' biggest issue is not going to be their pass protection, which is an issue. They got to stop somebody on the run. And this is 3 years going now where they are really in trouble if Perryman is not in there up the middle.
Great point, CJ. I mean, we're talking about 170 rushing yards in the second half for the Colts. They got simply manhandled in the middle of that defensive line and the linebacker position. Kaiser White, Thomas Davis, Brandon Mebane, Justin Jones, whoever they threw in there. Now, that Colts offensive line up the middle
very good
is also quite special, especially from the center all the way over to the left tackle. They're a really good offensive line.
The Colts did to the Chargers what the Chargers should have done to the Colts. The Colts realized, okay, it's hot out here. Let's just pound it, wear down their defense.
Shorten down the game a little
shorten
bit.
Shorten the game down and just put big on not so big, and we're good to go.
Yeah, I mean, we're talking that center, Ryan Kelly, really underrated. First rounder from, I think, 3 years ago. Of course, we know Quentin Nelson.
Oh,
I mean, that dude is an absolute powerhouse.
Yeah.
So they were just really denting in the Chargers'
defensive
line.
Tip of the spear.
Tip of the spear. I mean, it was like a pummeling up front there. The Chargers definitely have to shore that up a little bit. The area where they don't need to shore up, and this is smart from the Colts, is, hey, let's not run to the perimeter, and let's do our best to stay ahead and down a distance so Joey Bosa and Melvin Ingram don't just terrorize us, which they had a pretty good game, both of those guys.
All right, we'll continue to talk. You want to ask? You want to talk some football with Nick Hardwick, 844-570-1360. What he was most impressed with week one of the season, what disappointed him the most. We'll also update you on how we did it with our NFL picks. Who you got?
Oh, yeah.
Today at 3 on the Cannons, we'll get you set for a pair of Monday Night Football games, including the debut of Antonio Brown with the Raiders at home against the Broncos. We'll get going at 3 on Extra 1360 and FM 103.3.
Oh, my God, those guys are so stupid. He's not on the team anymore. He's on the Patriots, dummies.
Oof. That age poorly.
Too bad you're not smart like we is. 844-570-1360. You want to talk some football?
Are you giddy because the Raiders play today?
So
you've been
giddy.
Super giddy today.
Meg's gonna wear her silver and black negligee, if you know what I mean.
Nice.
Yeah, baby. That's you know what's up.
Bring the shoulder pads and the helmet.
That's big spikes.
Look out.
844-570-1360. Before we get to Jonathan, quickly, NFL picks week one. Nick Hardwick 3-0. Had the Rams,
well,
the
sure,
Colts,
he played.
And I know the Pats. He has the Raiders tonight. Judson, you and I went 2-1. We had the Rams, the Colts, and the Steelers. You, however, have the Broncos tonight. I have the Raiders.
All right, looking forward to that.
We'll do
a little preview.
Does Adam Vinatieri still have a job?
They got to get rid of him.
He looked really
old. It's over.
46 years old.
Did they get a senior discount keeping him around?
I think so.
They have. Yeah. There is.
Is there?
Yeah, there is. Worked into the CBA. Vets over that age, if they're, I don't know what Vinatieri's making, but vet minimums actually count half of what they do against the cap.
Did you know that Andrew Luck?
I don't know what he's.
Andrew Luck, as a kid, when his dad was the commissioner of NFL Europe, Andrew Luck remembers watching Adam Vinatieri kick a game winner in NFL Europe.
That's a whole yeah, it's done. Let's go to Jonathan. Wants to talk about the Ravens quarterback. Jonathan, good morning. Nick Harwick's in studio. Start the conversation.
What's up, fellas? How y'all doing this morning?
Jonathan, what's happening, buddy?
Hey, man, I just wanted to talk about Lamar Jackson, how much of MVP, at least in the first week, I think he was. He was fantastic. But let me ask you a quick question, Nick. Do you think he's for real? Do you think that Hollywood Brown is for real? And because there are times where his timing throws were fantastic. He could have ran where he would have ran last year, but he stayed in the pocket. He looked comfortable. So what do you think?
Yeah, he looked like the real deal yesterday, absolutely. I mean, there was a time in that game yesterday where he had completed 10 passes and four of them were touchdown passes.
Yeah.
He was good down the field. I think that was the big question about Lamar Jackson. Can he start completing throws down the field or is he just going to rely on his legs? I think the big question remains coming after this week is really about the defense and about the opposing team. We were talking about the Miami Dolphins. I mean, there's news out there now that there is a mutiny underway in Miami. So you're talking about a team who may not have fully prepared, who may not be giving it their best effort because they don't feel like organizationally they're giving it their best effort. So why would I try as an individual? I mean, think about this. It's like a dangerous game. It's really challenging. It's super physical. It hurts like hell to wake up on a Monday and then all of a sudden, you realize my team is not even trying to win. I mean, you want to talk about taking any motivation away from you to go out and give that extra.
Why should I be into it if my ownership is not into it?
Yeah, there's no way.
I said this morning that.
But Lamar looked real.
Yeah, he did.
I mean, this looked real. It's going to be really interesting.
I said to Judson
watch
this
him.
Morning that how many Dolphins players were searching how to burn your feet cryogenically this morning.
I mean, they're going to start down. Antonio's laid out the blueprint to get out of town.
Secretly record your coach.
Start Do it.
Record your coach and make a really dope YouTube video.
You could go to jail for that. You can't record people without notifying them.
Well, if you're in jail, you can't play for the Dolphins, okay? So that's another way to do
it. That's true.
Do you remember the report that was out when John Gruden was asked about the video? He said he thought it was awesome.
Yeah, I thought it was cool.
That was the report that was out there.
It was Emmy-level quality video.
It was really well done.
I thought Nike produced it.
Mostly, Gruden was happy that he sounded cool.
Yeah.
Right. He did.
Just quit the ass.
Cut the
play
ass,
some
man.
Ball.
Except
would
Nike,
you?
His ad said, "Just screw it." I'll be here all week, ladies and gentlemen. Try the clams.
Tip your waitress.
Please, phones. Please, 844-570-1360. Iman is with us now. Iman, good morning, buddy.
Hey, good morning, guys. How are you? Good to talk to you.
Iman, you too, bud. Good morning.
Good morning. Thomas Davis, I thought he looked a little lost at times yesterday, especially in coverage. There was that one big play to Jack Doyle where he bit hard on the play fake, and Doyle kind of ate him up on a crossing pattern. And in the run game, obviously in the second half, he wasn't as effective as we thought. Is Perriman, was he more of a healthy kind of scratch? Or I know he was active, but I didn't see him in there much at all. What are your thoughts on Thomas Davis?
Yeah, so they really like this Kaiser White guy who's playing the middle linebacker. Thomas Davis, I know it looks like he's a middle linebacker in the Chargers defense, but actually he's what they call the will linebacker. He's the weak side linebacker. And Thomas, in my opinion, is built to run sideline to sideline. That's kind of how the Carolina Panthers used him, Luke Kuechly. When you run straight at those guys, you got a good chance. I mean, you got to remember Thomas Davis was a safety in college.
Yeah.
And then he moved up to linebacker. He's playing weak side linebacker. Is he willing? Is he capable of hitting? Yeah, he is. But he's really best used scraping that line from sideline to sideline, using his speed to his advantage. If teams start taking notice of what the Colts did and running straight into the teeth of that defense, they got a good chance to make some hay right up the middle. Brandon Mebane's getting older. Justin Jones is 280, 285 pounds at that three technique. And there was a lot of hype, preseason hype about him coming in, but it was all internal noise. You never really heard anybody from the outside going, man, Justin Jones is going to be a huge difference maker. It was kind of the Chargers trying to pump him up. So it's still yet to be seen if he's going to even be able to hold down that position or if they're going to need to go to Isaac Rochelle, if they're going to need to go to Jerry Tillery once he gets his...
He was inactive, right? He's coming back from...
shoulder surgery, had very limited reps in the preseason, had a couple of games, and really needs to get his feet underneath him before they give him extended playing time.
And Damian Square was getting pushed around yesterday, too. Well, everyone was getting pushed around except for Bosa and Ingram because, as you mentioned, let's just run up the middle.
Let's run straight up the middle, yeah. That's what I would do if I were the opposition.
Three best offenses for me, I thought, that I saw. And again, I think you do need to take into account that the Ravens may be playing a team that had quit already. But you got the Patriots that, you know, beat the Steelers 33-3. And then the Chiefs. I thought that the Chiefs, I was really impressed with Sammy Watkins, been a little bit of a forgotten man, especially with Tyreek Hill going down. I also was bummed for Nick Foles. I was a little impressed with Gardner Minshew, to be honest. It'll be fun to see what happens there.
Where's the penalty on Nick Foles?
I'm with you.
That is 100% what they tried to eliminate last year.
The injury literally is why they put the rule in place.
If it were anybody else making more than $18 million a year like Nick Foles is making this year, that would have been a penalty. They're like, screw it, it's Nick.
Is it because Nick Foles is a Super Bowl champ who I think we all have ingrained is as a backup? So it's like the backup broke his collarbone.
Yeah.
Right?
And that's what the officials are looking at, too. They're humans. They watch and they think like us as well. And you would hope they would be a little bit more objective. But that clearly body slamming him, driving your shoulder down into him, that is exactly what they tried to eliminate last year.
But if it was Tom Brady, Houston's in jail right now.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, Jones is in jail.
Jones, sorry.
Indefinite suspension. No chance to come back. Done.
He sent to jail in Houston. They just send him away.
No, but I'm with you. As far as the offenses goes, Baltimore Ravens, really impressive. I mean, a 49-point victory? That's not NFL football, by the way, people.
I know. It's supposed to be 49-44.
That's how you know the Dolphins quit.
Yes.
I mean, 40, what are we doing
in week
here?
One?
And then the Patriots just looked like they were completely greased up. WD-40, they were ready to go 42
years old. And who
do
the Dolphins have this weekend? The Patriots.
Oh.
Yeah.
So, yeah, if you're a Dolphins fan out there, and normally the Dolphins find a way, it seems like, to beat the Patriots at least one out of the two.
I'm turning on the sprinklers, Bull Durham style, chasing a rain out in that one.
No, I'm hurting myself if I'm a Dolphin player. Oh, I'm doing something that, I can't
go. Then the Chiefs look great.
Jeez.
Chiefs look really good. Defense looks strong.
How did it look so easy to the Patriots,
about the Chiefs.
Well, go ahead, but
I think the Chiefs matchup against the Jags is so favorable. The Chiefs have so much speed, like team speed.
Oh my God.
They have to be the fastest team in the NFL, maybe other than, say, you could throw the Rams into the mix, you could throw the Eagles into the mix with DeSean Jackson coming back. Like, they're a really fast team, but the Chiefs have speed everywhere. I mean, even their offensive linemen are fast. And they got this crazy ability with these run-pass options. They got the ability. They got everything you want. Chiefs are dangerous. Well, it looks really good.
And you got the rebirth of Sammy Watkins.
Yes.
I mean, he looks fit.
Now, Tyreek's injury is a really interesting one.
Collarbone, too.
Collarbone into his sternum.
Oh, yeah.
So this is kind of an interesting thing. It's not like it broke his collarbone. His collarbone went into his sternum. They had to, like, pull that sucker out of there a couple weeks out, I would think, at a minimum.
They're saying, 3 weeks.
I don't know. But the Patriots, they're just so greased up. I mean, they're unreal.
So depressing. It's so depressing.
I mean, Tom looked like he could have set up a chair back there. Sit down, look around. They had receivers. How is Josh Gordon? He doesn't have anyone within 15 yards of him.
It honestly looked like the Chargers taking on the Patriots last year, where there was not a rush. There was no real hard pressing at the line of scrimmage. It just seemed like they were kind of terrified, and the Patriots just drilled them.
It's by a thousand paper cuts when you're playing them.
Yeah, so when the Steelers were blitzing early in the game, Tom beats him up early, and then all of a sudden they're rushing three, dropping guys into coverage, and he has all the time in the world to do whatever he wants to do. And then to magnify the Patriots' strengths and to magnify the Steelers' weaknesses, they've got blown coverages all over the place.
Tom was freaking out last night.
Safeties were struggling. Imagine there's going to be some guys maybe looking for a job here pretty soon.
Hey, let's give away these Zach Brown tickets right now. Zach Brown's pretty awesome. A pair of tickets to see the Zach Brown Band live and in concert on Thursday, September 19th at the North Island Credit Union Amphitheater. What was the name of the quarterback of the UCLA Bruins? I'll give you a hint, DTR. But what's his full name? 844-570-1306. You know the answer to that. You win the Zach Brown Band tickets. Nick, you have the Raiders winning tonight?
I do.
All right, well, then I will do it. I will tell you why the Raiders will lose. Costa to the Broncos. The game you'll hear tonight on Extra. That's
Can
coming
we
up next.
Just get you in here.
FM 103.3.
All right, we'll pick these games up coming in just a little bit. Nick, how about this? This is from Chris Mortensen. Antonio Brown sought advice from social media consultants on how he could accelerate his release from the Raiders.
At least he's consulting with somebody. I mean, maybe he should consult a shrink or a psychiatrist who can prescribe some medicine to him. Hey, lay down on my couch, Antonio Brown. Let's talk through some things here.
Yeah.
Take this pill.
Should the
NFL release? What's Drew Rosenhaus's role in this whole thing?
Should the NFL look deeper at this?
Yeah.
I mean, either not only with how a player looked to get out of a contract that he was in, but also with where he landed.
I mean, and so the news you read earlier, too, with the $20 million for next year for the signing proration and all that. I mean, he can essentially make the exact same amount of money on a far better football team than the one that he forced his way out of. I mean, it's staggering.
I don't know how much stock we put in what Stephen A. Smith says, but Stephen A. Smith said this morning, he should be ashamed of himself, his family should be ashamed of him, and his friends should be ashamed of him.
I mean, this is one of those things. Seriously, though,
what about acquaintances?
This is one of those things, though, that if you've got a good family around you, like, you won't do this thing because you're fearful of the backlash from them.
They tell
you
to pump the brakes.
There's so many things in my life that I wanted to do that I'm unwilling to do because of the reaction that my dad would give if I told him that this happened or that he found out. He'd be like, no, you're basically out of this family.
It's called accountability. And it's also called growing up.
Yes.
You know, as you get older, you start to realize, okay, there are consequences for my actions. Good if you do something good, but negative if you do something.
Well, how about the people's lives that you're affecting? All the teammates that you just throw under the bus, or the coaching staffs and the general managers and the people who, like, their jobs count on your performance and your buy-in, and you're unwilling to give any of that. I mean, this dude's just essentially, I'm not kidding, he's a 4-year-old trapped in a 31-year-old's body.
I think he's certifiable.
Boom, a cloud drop, who you got?
And now, here's something we hope you'll really like.
It's time for Hardwick and Richards
and Costa
to make their top picks of the weekend. Gentlemen, who you got?
Who you got? Who you got?
All right, we'll pick winners. We got a doubleheader.
Yes. This is so antiquated, this doubleheader. This doubleheader just makes no sense to me anymore.
It doesn't.
It's a contract thing.
We get it. It's the opening weekend of football, but the people on the East Coast are going to be up to 1:30 or 2.
We started on
watching
Thursday.
My Raiders roll the Broncos.
On an infield.
We started on Thursday. We don't need two on a Monday.
You don't.
And you certainly don't need to start at 7:30 or 7:45 or whatever.
We're good. We're not going to suddenly turn away because there's not two games
just
on a
put the
Monday
Raiders
night.
Broncos game. Like,
that's all you need.
Shove it onto the football package.
Yeah.
All right, first game up, we got Texans in New Orleans. New Orleans is favored 7.5.
Oh, that's a big favorite
really?
There.
7.5. No Lamar Miller.
Right. No Jadeveon.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Kyle, you want to go first?
Saints at home.
Yep.
Rowdy Monday Night Football.
Yeah.
On that turf. Deshaun
Watson.
They're famously
with
good.
With a couple of new guys that they just brought in a week ago.
Yeah.
Left tackle and wide receiver.
But the Saints have gotten off to historically slow starts. I think they win, but I think it's a close one. So I'll take the Texans and the points.
I say that the Saints actually cover. I think they beat them by more than 7.5.
I do.
I got the Saints. That is a special place. I think they still got some angst in them with how the season ended last year. So, no, I would take them.
I got the Saints, too. And I think they're a pretty buttoned-up organization. They're going to come in and be one of the teams that looks strongest at the beginning of the season, where the Texans seem to be a group that kind of relies on their talent. And I don't think Bill O'Brien's quite got that program down. I don't know if he's ever going to have that program quite down.
Word.
I got the Saints.
Okay.
All right, next game up, Broncos at Raiders. The Raiders are stupid. But they are favored here 1.5 points.
Just to put it simply, they're stupid.
Okay, wait a second.
They're favored by 1.5.
But we picked it on Friday, and it was a pick'em at that time, so I'm staying with my Raiders.
So Antonio Brown leaves, and their odds go up.
Yeah, I'm still going to stay. I'm going to stick with them as a pick'em.
Keeping it as a pick'em?
I'm keeping it as a pick'em, too.
Raiders win.
Yeah. Right there. All right, Mr. Smarty Pants. Looking down your Carmel nose at the rest of us.
Why are they going to win the Broncos going to beat the Raiders?
Yeah, tell us why.
Yeah.
Is their offensive line super? Oh, no, they're not.
I think Joe Flacco's been reborn. I think Joe Flacco is going to have a big time game tonight.
Pull this leg and it plays Jingle Bells.
Really? Because that Raiders defense is so ferocious. Yeah.
Joe Flacco is going to join Nick Foles.
You just watch
rather quickly.
Costa, which body part are you getting waxed tomorrow?
Oh, we're going to have to pull it out of the hat. You want to pull it out?
You're actually going to wax your body?
We've got a weekly Raiders wax bet this year based on when if Raiders win, he gets waxed.
So I have to get waxed twice all season, but I get to watch him 14 times.
Are we talking about a strip of wax, or are we talking about
no
a whole
eyebrow,
body part?
No nipple, and no down there. So other than that.
What about back there?
Back there, you can do it.
No, okay. He needs that. Good. Actually,
I do. I'll sign up for that one.
My tramp stamp's a little hairy,
I'll
too.
I'll join you, man.
I'll get waxed there as well.
And guess what? I'm just going to watch.
Does that the lower back hair drive Meg crazy? Yeah. Jamie hates my lower back hair.
She
must be the unsexiest thing of all time.
Yeah, it's like this little person growing in the middle of your back, like a little head. It's like, just get away.
And
dude.
Then as you get older, you get these little flyaway hairs on your shoulder.
You get your shoulder sweater.
Yeah.
And then you get, it's a complete mess back
The greatest there. Sweater that I've ever seen on a human, John Runyon.
What was he hairy?
Phenomenally hairy.
Really?
Unbelievable. He'll get out of the hot tub and it looked like a sweater was hanging on him. It's unreal.
Buddy, your podcast is up.
It's up
at iHeartRadio.
We're up and rolling.
That's right. Love this hour will be up there as well.
Nice.
Yeah.
Way to go, Fletch. Thank you. Thank you, Gene. You got some thank yous, don't you?
I do.
Do it.
Aztecs head coach Rocky Long, our own Nick Hardwick. Those interviews available on the pod, sportssc.com. Goes without saying, Ben Mudflap Fletcher, last but not least, you brave men and women of the United States Armed Forces for what you do, what you've done for us. Thanks for hanging out with us today, everybody. What do you say we do it again tomorrow? The Herd's coming up next. Rex with 1360 Fox Sports San Diego.